Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present, one's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Here we go. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number 3 today. Hour number 3 today. If you missed any parts of our program today, first hour we dedicated to CGR wellness, CGR wellness, this stuff right back here, and benefiting your health. And we specifically talked about heart health. And we gave you some examples and some testimonies, as well as talked to you about the benefits of these of the products that have benefited others in their heart health for real. And encourage you to get tuned into that and consider going to CGRwellness.com. CGRwellness.com. Sign up for your free account. And I had another testimony this week of a pastor that regularly comes on the program. He and his wife just got started on the product, and they love it. So another powerful testimony. And then we talked with Pastor Samuel live from India and got an update from him on what's going on there and some great testimonies. And then just finished with evangelist Laura Pickett. And talking about getting overweight, but it's not just weight. Really cool stuff. All right, the Marxists are marching. They are really marching on our country because they hate us and they hate America, and they want everyone to join them in their you know efforts to try to destroy this great nation. And boy, they really can't stand it when somebody, you know, says something positive, like my next guest, Mr. Don Jans. Don, welcome. Good to have you.
Good to be here. It's Friday, the last Friday of July. We'll never have another last Friday of July ever again, 2023.
Never. That's right. You unless you're in the Groundhog movie, you never repeat the day.
No. And the American communists don't let one day go by where they don't advance their agenda.
Yeah.
Marx told them. Well, Marx told all of his followers. He said that between capitalism and communism, there has to be a transition period. Several things about that transition period. That's the time when you wrest a control away from the capitalists or freedom-loving people. You take their property and transform it into public property, and then you have to take total control of the population. And in order to do this, Marx said, he's flat out said, you're going to have to use despotic means. So you can't pay any attention to what the law says. You can't pay any attention to fairness. You can't pay any attention to anything else except what are our ends. What are we trying to accomplish? Well, we're trying to accomplish transforming the United States from a capitalistic country into a communist country. And we will do it any way we can, including colluding with the Chinese. And we will advance the Chinese's agenda. And in so doing, they will come over and they will pay a lot of politicians a lot of money to aid them. And then as they aid them, we, the United States, become a third world country, while the communist country becomes a very dominant country. And they go by the axiom, folks, never forget this. Never, ever forget this. When you're listening to the news and you hear the excuses and so forth, the communists live by that axiom, the ends justify the means. Absolutely anything you have to do, sit in front of Congress, blatantly lie, if it accomplishes your end of transformation. Go collude with other governments. Destroy the country. Doesn't matter as long as it advances the transformation movement. So, Pastor Greg, we're right in the middle of that. That's happening right now. And all they're doing is doing exactly what Karl Marx directed his pupils to do and the Democrats and some rhinos are excellent students and doing exactly that. We're in the middle of it.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure this out. Okay, so apparently President Trump did get a new indictment.
I know the person I think who was doing the driving, I think he was indicted. But I don't know.
Yeah, here we go. It says, okay, former President Donald Trump and two of his aides were hit with new charges in the Mar-a-Lago documents case on Thursday. A grand jury in South Florida returned a superseding indictment, adding four charges to the prior indictment against Trump and aide Walt Nada, another aide Carlos de Oliveira, the Mar-a-Lago head of maintenance, also was added to the instruction conspiracy charged in the original indictment. The indictment alleges that de Oliveira told another employee that the boss wanted the server from Mar-a-Lago surveillance footage deleted and asked how long the footage was stored. What are we going to do, he allegedly said. The alleged exchange came after Trump's team received a subpoena for the security footage, according to the indictment. So apparently there is... Now, folks, that's on Yahoo News, okay? So I'm just telling you what is out there. Josh Hawley says, spoke out, slammed the new charges brought against former President Trump in the case over his handling of classified documents on Thursday, arguing we cannot allow this. It's so brazen right now what they're doing. It really is a subversion of the rule of law. I mean, they're taking the rule of law, turning it on its head, and we can't allow this to stand. The American people are not going to be safe. Our system of government is not going to be safe if this is going to be the new standard.
So that is taking, just obliterating the law. Don't care what the law says. We're just going to go ahead and we're going to do what we're going to do. And we are going to make sure that the person who has all of the inside information on us and can destroy our deep state, we're going to make sure that by hook or by crook, he's not even on the ballot in November of 2024.
Well, you know, you got to wonder the Josh Hawley has suggested that these random new charges were brought in order to distract from the Hunter Biden legal problems. But here's I think to me the more chilling piece to this. It's not a distraction. It's a retaliation. Okay? Hunter Biden was going to be given, and when you read, this is what is mind-boggling, and the old prosecution team wouldn't go along with it, so they were removed, and a new prosecution team was brought in that was in collusion with the defense. And folks... This is what the document shares. It says that Hunter Biden is not to be charged in any future illegal activity. So, no matter what the current president's son does, no matter how grotesque, how illegal, rapes women, traffics children, whatever he does, you know, massive amounts of drugs and sells drugs and so on, no matter what he does, okay, what they tried to get the judge to sign off on said he cannot be charged. He is immune from charges in the United States, period.
You know who else was immune from charges in his country? Stalin. Stalin couldn't be charged with anything.
Gee, surprise, surprise.
And if anybody charged him, then he brought them to trial.
Yeah. Surprise,
does it sound
surprise.
Familiar? Well, yep. The corruption, absolute, and it's blatant now. The corruption that is going on in our country, that has been going on in our country, what Biden has done is not just Biden, incidentally. There are, according to Schweitzer, there are many, many people in the government that have done exactly the same thing. They've been paid off primarily by the Chinese. Biden extended his reach and went over to Europe. But what they have done is they have said we could care less about the Constitution. Constitution has no meaning whatsoever. Of course, they've always wanted to destroy it anyway. We could care less about what is right. We could care less about what is wrong. We are going to do what we are going to do to accomplish what we intend to accomplish. And so let's talk about that. What do they intend to accomplish? They intend to complete the transformation that was begun at least a century ago, and that Obama told us October 30th of 2008. His words: "We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America." Mm-hmm. What did he mean? He meant that we are 5 days away from being elected to be president. And then I will have the authority to bring in and to construct a deep state that will do all of our bidding. And so what did he and Holder do? They created in the DOJ in areas that because of ridiculous laws that the bureaucrats can't be fired. He created a deep state where those people could care less what the president says. They could care less. They could care less what the law says. They could care less what the Constitution says.
Yep.
And they will do whatever they have to do. Now, it's so blatant that Garland is even more blatant than what Holder was.
Yeah.
And he just says, no. The guy who had the Bitcoin, they dropped all charges against him with illegal political contributions.
Yep.
Now, why would you do that? Why would you drop charges where a guy has clearly made illegal political contributions? Well, because most of those went to the Democrat Party, and they don't want that in open court. There's no way they want to go in and have that exposed, that they were a part of that whole operation, and they allowed him to do it. The problem we have is that the American people, I believe, are very, very, very good people. And American people want to believe the best of their officials. And the American people, even we who disagree with Biden, you don't like to see Americans be traitors to America. But we have to admit the facts. We have to take a look and actually honestly observe and actually honestly find out, are we or are we not in a position where we are in a true transformation from freedom and liberty to total tyranny of the government? When Pastor Greg told me what we would talk about this morning, it was so appropriate. I'm doing a new book, and I think I've mentioned this before, and that new book will be out hopefully in the fall. I'd like to have it out late September, early October. We'll see. But what I'm talking about is, what are the left doing in the United States now to complete this transformation? And here's what we know. We know that Karl Marx laid out, he and Friedrich Engels laid out 10 very, very definite points that had to be completed in order to complete the transformation. What are some of them? Well, a steeply progressive income tax, public education, banks, that are really the monopoly of the United States government, so they can do what they want to do, and they can make loans to whom they want to make loans, and they can forgive loans to whom they want to forgive loans. And then we have 45 points. This, Pastor Greg and I have discussed this before. You must go back and review those 45 points that it takes for this transformation. And that was entered into the congressional record on January 10th, 2003. And it lays out specifically what they're trying to do. And, of course, a big part of that is acts which will destroy the family, which is being done. Our families are being destroyed. Well, how are they being destroyed? The same way they were destroyed in Russia under Lenin. And you'll go through it and you'll see it. The other area that is critical is they had to take control of at least one political party. Well, they have total control of the Democrat Party, and they have a great deal of control of some of the Republican Party. And when you look at what the RINOs do, at the very least, they are useful idiots for this transformation movement. So when we look at what is going on in the United States today, it's all been laid out. They are not, we'd like to say, well, aren't they creative? But they're really not creative. They can read, they can understand what it takes to accomplish that transformation, and that's what they're doing. And I was asked last night, I spoke last night up in a beautiful, beautiful area of California, a long ways from home, unfortunately, but it was a beautiful area. And we were talking about republic or democracy. And the question, anytime I go out and speak, the question always comes up, well, what can we do about it? Here's little old me. What can I do? How can I be effective in stopping this transformation movement? Well, there's several things that we can do, we individually. And I don't care who you are, but you can participate in stopping that transformation movement. The very, very, very first thing you have to do is you have to understand what is that transformation movement. If you don't understand it, there's nothing you can do about it. And then each of us has to take the responsibility that we will start to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of other fellow Americans. We don't remember how effective common sense was. When Thomas Paine wrote Common Sense, there was no real movement towards the revolution, virtually none. And well, Samuel Adams certainly was, and we had some movement down in Virginia. But most of it was, no, we want to just compromise. We want to make everything nice. And Thomas Paine pointed out in Common Sense, well, if you try and make everything nice, all you're doing is you're assisting that evil movement that's going to keep you under tyranny.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He generated this source for people to start to discuss the reality of staying under the tyranny of the government of England. That's what we have to do. We have to understand what it means if we don't stop this transformation movement. And then we must begin to discuss it by setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of Americans. You have the responsibility to play your part, and your part is very, very critical.
Very. Well, it comes back to we the people, and there's some good news with a few of the things that are happening at the Supreme Court, and hopefully this fall there'll be more. If we can get the Chevron doctrine revoked and stop the march of the administrative state. The administrative state has, since the mid 1980s, that has been one of the unchecked, unbalanced arenas in which this Marxist movement has usurped liberties and freedoms in our country, is through the administrative state.
When we talk about that, what we're really meaning is that The administrative state, that's those bureaucrats that nobody knows about, that haven't been elected, really haven't, they haven't been appointed, they've been hired. Mm-hmm. And they have the power to completely nullify what the legislature does, to completely nullify what the executive does. We saw them nullify many, 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 many orders, many, many accomplishments of Trump. They tried to totally nullify it, so much so that when Trump said, "I am in charge of foreign policy," which the Constitution incidentally says that the president's in charge of foreign policy, that we had, when he was exercising his constitutional right, we had a part of the administrative state bring a charge against him that brought a phony impeachment movement right by the Democrats. So that's how effective that administrative state can be, and that's what they do, and that's how they do it.
Yep. And you know, under the Chevron doctrine, they get to interpret their own. So they get to take a law, create it, and then interpret it the way they want it interpreted through their own court system, and you have to live in their made up and created world. It's really crazy. All right, we need to take our break. Don, thank you. Don Jans, My Grandchildren's America. And again, I just want to again remind you that we do have Don's collection, some of his incredible books available for you. And we're asking for a donation of $100 to the ministry, and you can pick up these great books, which include Setting Brush Fires of Freedom, which is really the solution to the issues that we're talking about. There it is, Setting Brush Fires of Freedom. And then, of course, Republic or Democracy, does it matter? You got to understand this. This is key, critical. Goodbye, Constitution, Freedom, America, which is a fictional account of a child that is awakened to realize what's happening to our country. Two Visions for America. And then finally, another fictional depiction to help us understand what's going on, and that is The Road to Tyranny. And great books, great reads. And
could they contribute more than $100?
They can. If you'd like to give more than $100, you can do that. And we'll see if we can't dig up some other gifts to throw into the box. All right. Thanks so much. God bless you, Don. We'll talk to you next week. Folks, we're going to take our break.
Friday of August.
Yep. We'll be back right after this brief break. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for being here in our final segment of hour number three today. And I hope that you've followed along and enjoyed the program. We talked health in our first hour. We had Pastor Samuel on from India, as well as Laura Pickett was on with us in the second hour. And we just had Don Jans on, and we got a little bit serious about what's happening to our country and the Marxist communist march that's happening, and really our responsibility. We the people, we're the ones that have to make the difference. We have to push back. And one of the ways we push back is how we take care of this relationship right here. And I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. She's written a book talking about that and talking about the crack in our vertical. And I want to welcome Dr. Deb Waters to the program. Deb Waterbury to the program. I'm sorry. Thank you. Dr. Deb, welcome. Good to have you.
You know what? I've been called way worse than one, so that's fine.
I know that club. Well, welcome aboard. Great to have you with me. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm really looking forward to it. Sounds like your program's been great so far.
You know what? It has, and I'm excited for how we're going to kind of close things out together. I was also, it's interesting, and I know you have been attacked because I was looking, for example, your story trying to, you know, help people to get a better understanding of motherhood, right? And you can't. Listen now, we can't be mothers anymore, right? I mean, you can't have a mother anymore. You've got a birther.
I guess, whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, but never. And I don't even have to put a wig on, and I can be a bearded mom. Yeah, I could be a bearded mom. I don't know. I mean.
I know. This is the world. I mean, it is just where we are right now. I don't think the tools with which we fight where we are right now have changed at all. I think just we have to have a very big truthful awareness of where we are, and then use the same tools that we've always used, but just know where we are.
And I think that brings us to a cracked vertical, because really that's the, I mean, the whole issue here is we've got so many folks that are walking around with that cracked vertical. And quite honestly, the church seems afraid to actually address that issue with real biblical truth.
I agree. And you know, and the church being the people, mostly because we get so caught up in, but this makes me feel this. You know, even if you talk about our country or your marriage or your children or your friendships or whatever, if I feel a certain way, then I feel that I must respond a certain way. And instead of asking that question, which we ask over and over again in a crack of my vertical, which is, why do I feel this way? Because whatever's happening around me is what's happening around me. Whatever someone has done is what they've done. So why am I allowing that to affect me the way that it is, as opposed to in the means of using the tools that are at my disposal? Why am I feeling this? And then if you can get to that, you can figure out the whys, and then you can do the what's a little bit better if you figure out the whys.
It's interesting, and I don't want to bogart our time, but you know, when I first got saved, I was on the verge of suicide as a 13-year-old.
And
my mom went to a women's conference, and the keynote speaker was she wasn't young then, but she was someone who had been taken as a young orphan in Czechoslovakia into one of Hitler's schools.
Wow.
And then she was graduating from school when Germany fell, and then they began to find out what really had, you know, transpired and what have you. And she ran from the Russians, who were raping all the women, including they raped her best friend right next to her as she was hiding in a hayloft. And she finally made it to an American outpost. Ultimately, she found the Lord, but she was an orphan. I wasn't an orphan, but my dad was a severely damaged person because he had been severely mentally abused by his mom, and he was an only child, and some of the stories are just atrocious, and he and I healed all that after I was an adult, but as a child it was this hot, cold, weird deal, and you're never going to amount to anything, and all this on the verge of suicide at the age of 13. I made a connection with this gal, And Jesus, because of it, gave my life to Christ, got saved, on fire for God, super emotional, though. It was an emotional experience.
Yes.
At about 18, the emotions started to wane, and I found myself, you know, I'm teaching 4 Bible studies. Yeah, I'm you know, people will get in more. I'm in the Word. I can't be any more in the Word. Okay, That wasn't my issue. My issue was that my train. And if you look at 4 spiritual laws, it has this, you know, the train, the coal car, and the caboose. Well, my engine was feelings, and it wasn't until I got that squared away 4 years later that I realized that. And now I pass it back to you.
Man, and you know what? I mean, what a testimony. First off, that's an amazing testimony, but it is so common. That is a very common, I'm a pastor, full-time pastor at a really large church here in Tucson. And we have 4 campuses. At the campus that I go to, we have loads and loads of people who will come to know the Lord every week. And I see them, you know, in their, that emotional state that, you know, oh my gosh, my life has been terrible. And I've done so many things. There's so many things have come, you know, happened to me. And that beautiful moment that they recognize they have a Savior is always emotional. Of course it is. I mean, it's your heart has been broken, and now here comes the Savior who has healed your heart. It's an emotional experience. But what we do then as a church, as a body of believers, as a people, just as humans, is then we move on as if that emotion is going to stay. It's sort of like getting married. You know, you get married and you just all giggly in love with him or her for like a minute. And you're wondering why in the world in, you know, 4 or 5 days or a year later, I don't feel that anymore. It's because we got married thinking that that feeling was going to sustain us. And it doesn't. The thing that sustains you in marriage is the same thing that sustains you in life with your relationship with Christ. And that is relationship. And a relationship requires getting to know someone. And so when we respond in, you know, anything but love, joy, peace, contentment, harmony, those five things, if I respond to a situation outside of those things in fear, anxiety, anger, frustration, any of those negative feelings, then I have to recognize I am now living my life as if my feelings are going to dictate who I am. And the only thing that really dictates who I am as a believer is Jesus. So therefore, I have to know him better. And if I'm not responding in love, joy, peace, contentment, and harmony, then I must look back to Jesus, to God, to my vertical relationship and figure out what am I missing here? Because this is my fullness. And if my emotions are like running and driving the truck, then obviously I need to go back to the actual driver of this truck and figure out how I've lost focus there. So what the book does, A Crack in My Vertical, is addresses where's the crack? If I'm in a situation and I need to love this person and they're unlovable or I don't feel like loving them, how do I repair that crack in my vertical relationship so that I can love like Jesus loves, even if this is an unlovable person? And then through all those things.
It's interesting, you know, when we're talking about that, you know, the other piece is we've got to know who we're loving. And I've said on this program before, if you've got a pastor that stands up front and says, well, you know, God's ways, da, 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 get out of that church.
Yes, yes.
Because what that says is you can know his ways. You can understand him. In every situation and circumstance, mm-hmm. you can, because he wants you to. That's why, mm-hmm. that's the whole reason why he gave us a book.
Amen, that's exactly right.
He gave us an autobiography, his story.
And we need to know him. I say all the time, you know, obviously, and you're right. If a pastor stands in the pulpit and says, you need to just do what the Lord tells you and trust him. And well, you can say that until you're blue in the face. But if I don't know the character of the God I'm supposed to trust, if I don't actually know who he is, then how am I going to trust him? Why would I do something that somebody tells me if I don't know him? So we miss that important step. I feel great. I've been saved. La-di-da-da-da. My emotions are great. And now I'm going to go obey. And what I've missed is that important middle step or first step should be, how do I get to know the character of this God that just saved me and now who I will want to obey and follow and trust because I know his character? And you're 100% right. That's what we have the good word for. That's why we have this love letter that God sent us. So A Crack in My Vertical has within it Bible study, because the only way I can repair this crack in my vertical is get back to the word and get to know the God who loves me so much.
Well, to really understand when he says all things work together for good, he really means that.
Yes. And, all in the original language means all.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, Paul even writes about, you know, here he was in prison, and in one of his epistles he writes and he says, you know, you guys are castigating me and saying, mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, oh, I must not be in God's favor. I must have done something wrong. Because I'm in prison. Yes. You don't understand that I am impacting the guards.
Yeah.
I am impacting the palace. And if I wasn't in here, I couldn't do that.
That's right. That's exactly right. And the only way that that peace that we see Paul and Silas, you know, when they're singing in the Philippian jail at midnight and they're in shackles and all the stuff, the reason why they can be singing is because they knew and had gotten to know this Jesus, this God that they were willingly so happy to obey and love. Yeah. They knew him. They knew his character. And so therefore, there's so much peace there. There's so much ability to not be affected by the brokenness of others. And even if the brokenness is an entire world system, we don't have to be affected by that at an emotional or spiritual level, even though it may be affecting us physically.
Well,
or affecting
our lifestyle. And we shouldn't discount that. Look, we live in a fallen world.
Correct.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a world where people around us are making decisions that are going to impact us.
Absolutely.
That's a reality. But what mm-hmm. God has given us is the ability to be able to stand in the yes. midst of that storm.
Yes, and stand like Jesus stood. Because that's what we're called to do. We don't stand screaming and hollering and, you know, falling right into the exact same behavior as those we're standing against, though we stand strong, we stand firm, and we say what we need to say, and we do what we need to do. But we do so from this position, and we can only do that if we know if we have this, you know, this crack in our vertical that has been repaired. I stand in a position while I do the things I need to do and say the things I need to say and be in the places I need to be. I do that from a place of peace and from a place of kindness and love and of strength, but strength in the Lord, not strength in myself. I think the problem is that as we either responding to a spouse, a world system, a political system, whoever we're responding to, we respond in looking so much like the person we're responding to, or the system we're responding against, or the politics that we are disagreeing with. We respond as if we're them, and we're not them. We don't even know this world, so we have to respond appropriately from a position of true identity, and I can't do that if I don't actually know the one to whom I belong. And so it all goes back to that every single time, no matter what situation or person.
How much is because I agree with you. We have to respond in that fashion. Now, mm-hmm. when I look at, you know, what Jesus did in certain situations, everybody has this idea of Jesus sitting on one of those horses with the horn sticking out, you know. Jesus sitting on a unicorn, you know, passing out daisies and throwing out candy canes. You know, they didn't crucify him because they were in love with him and thought he was a nice guy and he was going along with the plan.
That's correct. Absolutely. Stood against it from a place of strength, from place of, because, you know, Jesus knew exactly who he was. He didn't have any worries about his identity.
Yeah.
He didn't have a crack in his vertical. I mean, Jesus was the vertical. So he could respond completely from who he was, which didn't mean he was a doormat. Nobody said he was supposed to be. He was a strong man and literally stood against those he needed to stand against. But he didn't do so acting like them. And that's the important distinction, I think, to make is mm-hmm. that Jesus responded as the king, but not as the ones he was coming up against. And we have to do the same thing. We have to respond as children of the king, as sons and daughters of God, as yeah. royalty that we are, responds in strength, but from that identity.
Yeah. And it's interesting how they continually will try to define for us what that looks like, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, yes. Absolutely. And nobody should I can't, but you know, the problem is I will fall into that if I don't know the one that I'm supposed to be, you know, emulating. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that if I don't read my Bible, if I don't meditate, if I don't pray, if I don't spend time in worship, if I don't get to know this character mm-hmm. of God, of Jesus, then I'll respond the way they think I'm supposed to respond, because I won't you're going to respond according to what you hear most. If I watch TV and I hear the same thing over and over and over again, those phrases will come out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. So if all I'm listening to is the opposition, and again, I'm speaking to people who just get so stuck on watching everything that the news is giving them. Mm. There's nothing wrong. We should be so aware of our world, but you better be reading the Bible more than you're watching the news. Yep. Because otherwise, what you're doing is you're going to start parroting what you hear on the news as opposed to responding what you hear in the news by parroting God's word. So there's nothing wrong with watching the news and being aware, but you need to know the Lord more and better and longer and more often than that.
And the engagement has to be from that perspective. And then recognizing we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities yes. and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. And so, you know, a great deal of our battle is vertical.
Yes.
It's this battle in the spiritual realm. And that doesn't mean that we're not, you know, letting our voices be heard, you know, engaging, maybe running for office if God's calling you to do that.
Absolutely, yes.
But if you're not, as you said, vertically sound, How much of an impact is that vertical relationship? Let's shift this for a minute to on a more personal basis. How much is that an impact on, say, your marriage?
Well, I also run a biblical counseling center. And in this center, we do marriage counseling, individual counseling, children, all the way up teens. And our most popular area is marriage counseling. And I can tell you that the way that we distinctively do it at my center is called The Answer, because Jesus is the answer, is that we will have a couple come in and they may come to see us as a couple. And if they agree to see us, then, and we always have a couple that counsels a couple so that both are feeling that they're represented. Mm-hmm. So the couple, if they come in to see us, they say they want to do it, then he has to agree to at least 6 to 8 sessions with the male, and she has to agree to at least 6 to 8 sessions with the female, so that once we come together as marriage counseling, this vertical has been addressed. Because a marriage where you're having relationship problems, whether it's your marriage, anybody else, those problems are symptoms of something else.
Right.
And it's symptoms of a lack of a vertical relationship. I've had so many women that will come to me and say, you know, I just can't, he's driving me nuts. I can't stand being married to him. Blah, 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 blah. We work on that vertical relationship for a while. And then eventually what happens is she says, yeah, no, he's not changed, but I see things differently. Like my marriage is so much better because I'm beginning to see things differently.
Right.
Has he changed? Nope. But I have. That's how it affects your marriage.
I think one of the other things that is a fallacy that I've found over the years is this idea of he completes me or she completes me.
Oh my goodness. I can't stand that phrase.
Thank you. You know, it's like, look, Adam was a whole person. Eve was a whole person. Okay. And you know, my wife and I have been married 37 years. And I know for us that when this isn't, you know, where it should be, when mine isn't where it needs to be, this is what gets impacted. And I'll never forget years and years ago, early in our marriage, we'd probably been married, I don't know, maybe 5 years, something along that line, roughly. And we were managing an apartment complex in Alameda, California. We had 2 small children. And I'm upstairs, and I'm saying, God, you know, you got to fix her, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She's downstairs in the office doing paperwork and saying to God the same thing. And at the same time, Holy Ghost says to both of us, you know, she is not the problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You need to look in the mirror.
Praise the Lord. And you know what? What's the biggest praise there is that you heard that. Jeff and I, same, we've been married 38 years. It was at 17 when our marriage was over.
Mm.
Before each of us, because we didn't want, neither one of us want to lose the children, we stayed together even though we couldn't stand each other. Wow. And the Lord did the same thing. He said, because I'm like, Lord, I can't stay with this man. And he, right in my middle of my sin and all my selfish behavior, he said, Deb, I need you to stop looking at him and look at me. This is between me and you. I didn't know he was doing the same thing to Jeff, but he was. Such a beautiful, I love hearing that story from you too. And nobody in their right mind would have thought Jeff and I would stay married, because we betrayed each other in every which way possible. But the Lord, when he healed me and made me realize that he is my center, and he did the same thing to Jeff, it really freed the other one up to be who they could be and stop trying to expect Jeff to be Jesus. I have one Jesus. See, I don't need another one.
Yep.
Jeff doesn't complete me, my Savior does. Jeff, I am my book, The Lies That Bind, at the beginning of the book, I dedicated it to Jeff, and I called him the gravy on my mashed potatoes. Because, and it's just, you know, that's one of those Southern phrases.
Sure.
You may or may not have heard it. Jesus is my mashed potatoes. Everything else everything that's extra is just gravy. Gravy makes everything better. And Jeff's the gravy on my mashed potatoes.
I get it. Well, and you know, and this is why I tell, you know, couples when I'm talking to them about, you know, getting married, look, you got to keep this right. Because
yes.
Otherwise you're going to be expecting things from one another that only God can do.
Amen, brother.
He's the only one. Your spouse doesn't fill the God hole. Cannot do it. cannot do it.
You can't. I think about that. Why would I? It's so unfair. I can. I mean, for me, I'm always thinking, well, I don't know why he expects so much of me. Well, dadgummit, I was expecting way too much of him. I figure that it's okay that I can't fulfill him, but he sure better fulfill me. That's so dumb and unfair, but that is the way we go to stuff like this, especially marriage.
Yep. No, it really is. It really is. And that's the crack in our vertical. That is the crack in so many. And you know, and it's why folks end up, you know, the reason God said that marriage is a covenant and that he detests divorce is because of how he puts us together.
Yes, as a new creation, literally one thing, we become one. And the marriage is not about Jeff making me happy. We tell people all the time in our sessions, mine and Jeff's marriage, if we are happy together, which of course we are, that's a beautiful byproduct of the fact that when people look at us, what we want them to do is think about God. Mm-hmm. Like literally, however that is, if your marriage, the goal of marriage for between two believers is that people see you being married and it makes them think of God. That's literally the point of marriage. Everything else is superfluous and a beautiful byproduct if that becomes your goal. But that can't happen if my God vertical relationship isn't intact. And that's in every relationship, not just your marriage.
Every single one. And of course, that foundation begins with, you really do have to love you. You have to love you the way that God loves you. And it's okay to love you. Not in a narcissistic kind of way, but in a healthy way of just being filled up. You're just filled, and you're
loving
like
me. Loving me is recognizing how much God loves me.
Yeah.
And if I can know him, then I can love me because he loves me first, not because I'm lovable, but because he chose to love me first. Then I can love me. Mm-hmm. That is harder than people think. And you're right. It's not about me. It's about him. He loves me first.
And it's interesting because that commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself. We oftentimes kind of discard that second piece, you know. Well, you're supposed to love your neighbor. You can only do that as much as you love you. If you don't love you, if you're not taking care of you, if you're not looking out for God's purpose and plan and call and everything he's trying to accomplish in you, you don't have the capacity to pour love into somebody else.
Absolutely. And I can't do that, even taking that back a step further, unless I can't even love myself and my capacity and the things that I can do and what I'm created as, unless I understand how much I'm loved. So when I do that, then how am I supposed to love somebody else if I don't recognize how much they're loved? Yeah. It isn't about what they can do. It's not about what I can do. It's about how much we're loved. And then we can love from a place of truth, not a place of what somebody will do or experience or give to me or me give to them.
Right, absolutely. A crack in my vertical, debwaterbury.com. Deb Waterbury, water, just like you'd know it, B-U-R-Y, Waterbury, debwaterbury.com, a crack in my vertical. God bless you, Deb. Thanks for being with me today.
Of course. Thank you so much. What a great discussion. I had a blast.
Me too. All right, folks, great way to send you off to the weekend. Texas Fully Loaded coming up here next on TECN-TV. And you can pick up this at your favorite podcast spot as well as soon as we jump off the air. God bless you and have a great weekend. I'll be back with you on Monday.